All right, on this episode of Bouts Talkin' Bouts, excited to be talking to an individual who competes at BKB 34 on September the 16th, and it's a very intriguing matchup as Martin Granger and Shimon Shinkovich get out there to test skills, and great having Shimon on the show for the very first time. How's everything going there, man?
Yeah, it's going great.
Yo, that's good to hear, man. It seems like you're having quite the busy year here. I'm noticing this upcoming fight is your third bare-knuckle boxing bout, and you also fought in MMA earlier in 2023 as well. Like, how are you feeling about the activity this year in combat sports? It seems like you're getting out there a lot.
Yeah, what I can say, I'm getting pretty old, so I don't have so much time for fighting anymore, so I take everything what I can get. So yeah, I'm really enjoying the BKB, so I want to just fight how many fights I can get in the BKB or BYB. That way.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. That's interesting, though. Do you have a certain timeline, though? Because you're looking to, like you said, be very active through, like, the rest of your run here. Like, what does that represent to you? Do you have a certain timeline in mind or not so much?
No, I don't have any certain timeline when I want to finish fighting, where I want to finish my career. I supposed to finish my career a long time ago. If you look at the average of the age of fighters, MMA fighters or boxing fighters, and if we count bare knuckle boxing, that's even worse. So I stopped to lie myself, but I'm gonna finish next year. Or I'm gonna finish after this fight. I finish when I feel that I can't fight anymore. So hopefully a few more years. But to be honest, that it's more and more heavy for the body. I feel the difference between when I was 25 or 30 and now when I'm 42.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, though, but like, it seems like you're really eyeing some big goals during this, like, last remaining stretch. Like, you're talking about how certain times it is getting, you know, harder on the body, but it seems like you're really, like, striving for as much as you can get at cruiserweight over the next few years. Like, I saw an interview where you were saying you were looking at British and world titles in BKB, so definitely some big goals. Those would be amazing, for sure.
Yeah, that's the goal. It's not easy goal. It's you know, in BYB or BKB, the champions are real champions. It's the guys have many years of experience in boxing, clean boxing. It's not gonna be easy to get any of these belts from them. My main goal actually is just to fight, just to enjoy every single round and every single minute of the round, just to have fun. I challenge myself, nobody else. Challenge myself with the training. Challenge myself with step into the ring, with the many, often with the younger guys or with the guys with the huge experience of fighting experience. So that's the biggest challenge for me and the biggest achievement, to actually stand up and do my best.
Yeah, it is interesting. You outlined there that, you know, within BKB, facing the more boxing experienced guys, like within that rule set, definitely can be a bit harder because it very much looks like those, like, London rules from way back in the day, where it's just a lot of, like, at range kind of fighting. And it seems like when you fought in BYB, the, you know, flexible rule set that, you know, the MMA experience can shine through in, just like the active clinch and whatnot. So, I mean, just in saying that, I mean, you've obviously had successes in BKB and adapted to the style, but it seems like the BYB style kind of allows you to, like, showcase more of your skill set. Can you, I guess, talk about both of those things? Like, do you like the challenge of growing, like, that more, I guess, normative, like, Western boxing game in the context of, like, I guess, bare knuckle and the BKB rule set versus, like, that more, like, active in fighting BYB style and what you might get out of that?
Yeah, It's hard for me to talk about what rules that is better. I fought for the both organizations. You have right. BYB, it's brawling. It's more street fighting, if I can say so. It's a clinch. It's a dirty boxing. So it's fit a little bit better for me. And my MMA experience, but BKB, it's gentleman sport. It's a gentleman rules, and it's a clean boxing. So it's pretty interesting to actually fight in the both of the setups. But I think because of my age, I start to enjoy more and more the clean boxing BKB rules.
Yeah, I appreciate those insights, and I wasn't even necessarily, maybe I worded the question wrong. I wasn't trying to ask you necessarily which rule set was better. I mean, you answered it like kind of how I intended, though, just like the different thoughts for each of those. And I mean, yeah, both great promotions, but definitely, you know, some unique differences, like different rule set. And I mean, the weigh-ins are different, like with BKB doing same day versus like day before in BYB. So yeah, I mean, it's almost like a different game in a certain sense.
Yeah, it's two different sports. We can say like this, from rule sets to the weigh in day. The BKB, it's the same day, so it's not so much possibilities to cut the weight. I did that. I cut the weight day before. And I learn my mistake. I get pretty damaged on the fight. Get beat up. What I can say, I get beat up because of the weight cut and didn't want to listen to anybody. I thought that I know everything best, so I get the lesson.
Oh, so you'd actually had a bit of a rough weight cutting experience that you learned from that?
Of course. You know, it's basically in BKB, it's no weight cut. It's a diet and it's training, and you can't cheat on the weight. You can't, or I say cheat, it's a bad word. You can't. You need to say yes to the fight. Or in basically in the weight what you are. You can't cut 4 kilos day before fight, because you're never gonna manage to recover in so short time after a weigh in before your fight. So no, I make the mistake. I say yes to the fight in 88 kilo, and I basically suffer really badly.
Yeah, well, it sounds like you learned from, you know, the experience as you were kind of outlining there, but I guess I'm curious to get some insights in this regard, because I'd seen an interview where you were talking about how, like, your dad was a karate instructor, and that was kind of like the beginning of your martial arts journey as a kid within that sport. Like, just the way you're, you know, talking about fighting, just like appreciating the fights and being present in there to try to enjoy it. Like, was the dream as a kid to always eventually be like a competitive professional fighter?
No, actually not. My mother always was against the fighting. My father was karate coach, and he always was in this fighting industry. But I never thought that I gonna ever be a professional fighter. I start my professional career pretty late with the MMA, and I always was. I was taking this always as a hobby. I fought professional, but I never considered myself as a pro fighter. The money is never enough to keep only training and live on that. And I just like competing. It's not like I like to fight because that's in. Be taken around that I'm walking around on the street and pick up the fight. I like competition, fighting as a competition. I like to check myself how good I am, and I want to fight with the best. And it's no shame for me to lose until I know that I did everything what I could do. If I know that I, it's like Tom Ross said, ring is the best lie detector, and that's the truth. And that we can, I can say that ring, cage, arena, or whatever, that the sport, fighting sports, is the best lie detector about you, yourself.
No, that's a good thing to compare it to, man. I definitely get what you're talking about, and it seems like you very much thrived in those, you know, pressure moments and, you know, the vacuum of competition. Like, I saw you got that IBA cruiserweight world title there, so definitely some great accolades that have already been had so far in this journey, it seems.
Yeah, that's also crazy story. I get invited to boxing fight, the boxing show. It's unlicensed boxing because yeah, again, I'm too old to compete with the license. Or it's not easy to get the license when you're over 40. And up that I became the IBA cruiser, world cruiserweight champion. And that's kind of the belt. It's hanging on the wall, and I'm pretty happy about that. But also, I met awesome people in the, even my opponent was a great guy. We talk a lot. He took me to the show as a not as a enemy who's gonna fight with, but as a competitor, as a guy who appreciate the competition same like him. So that's another thing what I love in boxing on my level or bare knuckle boxing. We are not the enemies. We are just two guys who appreciate a clean, hard, real man fight.
Yeah, I love the insights you just gave there, and something else you mentioned just a bit ago, like you were talking about the MMA experience. Like, I think it's cool that you got to fight in that Vettori circuit and everything in the bare knuckle MMA. And I mean, kind of a funny timeline in a lot of different regards, funny and exciting, and just touching on a lot of different things there, just in the sense of how you got there kind of by accident, and then you end up fighting three times in one night and doing that on, you know, two occasions across, you know, a pair of tournaments there. And I mean, all your wins coming by way of first round finish. So, you know, just in saying all that, can you, I guess, just give me some of the thoughts and insights on the bare knuckle MMA run, because it seems very interesting.
Yeah, Vettori, that was really, really interesting experience. Everything started by stupid joke of a friend of mine who sent me a link to Vettori and wrote on some MMA group that if I'm tough, I should sign in to this competition. So I did. I opened the link, I fill up the form, and I, 2 days later, I get the phone call from Vettori, and they ask me if I'm still interested to fight in the tournament. So I say yes. I didn't even know exactly what kind of, I knew that it's a bare knuckle MMA. I didn't know any rules at that time. But I was already in the one of the eight guys who was supposed to fight in the first tournament. They called it Valetudo tournament, and that basically was the Valetudo rules. I think that was the first legal in Europe from many, many years, the first tournament, and I was the first guy who represent Norway. I'm Polish, but I came from Norway, so I was the first guy who represent Norway in strict Valetudo rules. So yeah, the bare knuckle MMA. I managed to go to I managed to go three fights. I lost the final after 10 minutes with actually guy who now is fighting in the KSW. really good fighter, young, really talented fighter. And that's the first Votore story. Second Votore was second time when I went to Votore. I was supposed to have the super fight, just one fight. But that was the Corona time, so my opponent didn't manage to get out from France. So they asked me if I wanna join the tournament again. So yeah, sure. So I was again in the final. So I was twice in the final of Votore. That's the backstory of my experience with the Bernacle MMA.
Yeah, and showing your resiliency in certain regards too. Like, I understand you fought, you know, with a broken thumb and also a broken foot on different occasions within the Vittore runs there. So, I mean, yeah, that's noteworthy too, I think.
Yeah, that was in the first Vittore. I cracked my foot in the first fight. I basically never kick on the training, and I don't know why, but in my MMA fights, I always kick my opponent, and it's always some shit with my foot, and that happened also this time. I remember I kicked, was really nice kicks, and my opponent managed to block one, and I kick with my foot in his knee, so my foot cracked. Second fight was still a lot of adrenaline, and the third fight was painful. So it's not an excuse. I lost, but because my opponent was much better like me. But yeah, I managed to win three fights with the, or two fights with the cracked foot and a broken thumb or broken fingers. That's I think that's pretty normal in the bare knuckle fights. So that's, I don't even count it.
Yeah, just wild how much you guys have to overcome doing this. I mean, I think just as much as, like, people, you know, talk about the hand injuries and it's kind of a normalized thing, I mean, still pretty wild to, you know, overcome that and everything. But, I mean, we're talking about opponents and everything, and just in talking about this next opponent, curious to get some thoughts, because just in kind of doing a bit of backgrounding on them, it looks like they have, like, 20 professional gloved boxing bouts and looking to make their sophomore bare knuckle boxing bout here. Like, what have you seen from them in terms of, like, maybe some of the better stylistic attributes they have, and just what are your thoughts on their general resume, I suppose?
You mean my next opponent, or general my BKB opponents?
Oh yeah, sure. Martin Granger coming up here. Yes.
To be honest, I heard that he's pro boxer. I don't know how many fights he has. I didn't check him yet. Yeah, it's not like I don't respect his fighting. I just don't like to think too much and too early about my opponent and build myself. I know that he's really hard puncher. He's really strong. He has really strong punch. Yeah. I think my punches are not light either, and I know that I have pretty hard head, so I'm looking forward. I'm really looking forward, because it's I'm gonna fight in higher weight class, like I usually do, and so I don't need to stress so much with the diet, and I feel like that's gonna be good fight. I don't say I gonna easy fight, but it's gonna be a really good fight. That's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I would have to agree, and I guess I'm just curious to get some more insights into, I guess, like, the people you're looking to have in your corner, and I guess also some training partners, because I was seeing you do some shout outs last time out for Martin Peppa Smith and Romeo Bravo being in the corner, but also shouting out some of the, you know, big sparring partners and stuff like that. Like, I saw Thomas Narmo getting a shout out in there, and, you know, John Thomas, and just a ton of people. Like, you were shouting out a few sparring partners for sure. So I guess in saying all of that, what's the, I guess, sparring partner dynamic been like so far, and like, who are you intending to have in the corner for this one?
If it's about the sparring, that's the problem here in Norway. I don't have so many sparring partners. Basically, now I'm working, training at the work, and work the best I can. So, in Norway, it's a lot of good fighters, but it's also, like I say, I need to work, so I don't have so much time to travel and have the training camp. I don't have sponsors. I have just two sponsors, clothing sponsor, giving me some clothes once a month, and CBD sponsor who giving me some creams and some vitamins. But it's hard for me to get the sponsor, so they can pay for my traveling and training with. Training camps. I need to get up at the morning, go to work, come back from work, and go to train. And asking people around if they have time to train with me, like Thomas Nam or Andre Lovely or Jon, the guy who fought the last BKB. But that's the dark side of living in Norway and be a professional bare knuckle fighter, or one of the few in Norway.
Yeah, I mean, definitely hindrances with all of that, as you were talking about. Does that almost, I guess, breed a certain level of like extra camaraderie too, though, just being that there's like this smaller talent pool of guys out there and everything like that? Like, does it seem like an exclusive kind of club almost in a certain sense, even though, like, in a competitive sense, it's like you would ideally like to, you know, get more training time? But is there almost like an intimate kind of connection, almost like just being that there's like a smaller kind of like talent pool out there, I guess?
It's being the that's kind of a really small group of the people who actually I can train with, or they want to train with me.
Yeah, I get why that would be frustrating, though, because like I'd seen some interviews with you where you were saying like you'd fight every month if you could, and you know, every show. I saw you were saying that at BKB 26. So yeah, I mean, I get why that would be frustrating if you're wanting to be competing that much, for sure.
I don't like to talk about myself as a world champion, because I'm not the world champion, not in BKB. I came to the point, and I had some conversation with my friends. I think I came to the point where I still gonna enjoy with the fighting, but I kind of realized that I can't fight for the belt, because I don't have enough stuff behind me. I don't have enough people behind me to do that. I want to enjoy my fighting. I want to fight, and of course, if I get the proposition to fight for the belt, I will not say no. I don't think I say ever no to any of the BKB fight or BYB fight. But it is frustrating to be one of the best in Norway, and basically don't have anyone to train with.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it seems like you're making it work relative to the situation, but I get why that would be frustrating, for sure, man. I guess one of the last questions I had there, on a bit of a lighter note here, I was seeing the nickname and everything, and I love that the nickname is Shrek, and that makes me curious about, like, the backstory. Like, who kind of gave you the moniker, and what was the, I guess, origin of that nickname?
Yeah, that's kind of a funny story, actually. I developed my cauliflower ears pretty late in my training career and fighting career, but when they came, they really start to stick out. My ears really kind of stick out, and one of my trainers from before, the MMA legend in Norway, Thomas Hitten, we trained together, and he started to laugh and say that you know what, you look like Shrek, and that was many years ago, and that's just stick to me, and why not? I kind of like this nickname, because in the war Vikings, Last Vikings, Valhallas, and Killers, and whatever the people calling themselves. I think Shrek is pretty cool, pretty chill, and that's kind of me. You know, I am not a violent person. I like to fight, and I don't like. I like when people like me. I don't look after the enemies. I don't shit talk, because why I should. So I think the Shrek, the personality of Shrek, fit me pretty nice.
Yeah, because I feel like Shrek's almost the same way. Like, he can beat some people up if he's, you know, called to do it, but I think he's just looking to chill in his swamp mostly. So, yeah, it kind of works. I get what you're saying.
Yeah, and I also like to be in my forest and with my donkey.
So yeah, exactly.
Just enjoying the sun and the grass.
Yeah, I love that, man. But you've been really good with your time, and I appreciate you coming on and giving such good insights. But just in being mindful of the rest of your schedule today, Shimon, I'm wondering if there's maybe like a final parting thought you'd like to add as we're wrapping up here, man.
Well, what do you say now?
Oh, just I was kind of giving you the floor. Like, if there was like a final thought you wanted to say, like maybe a sponsor shout out or something that wasn't mentioned during the interview. Just, I mean, anything really. But yeah, just floor is yours if you had a final thought, I guess.
Yeah, I want to say thank you to my family, of course, to my girlfriend, to my kids. I want to invite you guys to watch the BKB, my fight. All show is going to be awesome, as every other show of BKB. And thank you to Manto for clothes and gears, and thank you to Sedeba Nordic for creams and vitamins. And yes, see you guys 16th of September in London.
Yeah, it's going to be a great night at BKB 34, and definitely excited for this fight against Martin Granger and everything. And to reiterate, thank you for coming on and giving great insights, man. Hopefully have you on in the future too. And just until then, you have a good rest of your day, man. Thank you.
Thank you. See you guys.